Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q4 2019 investor call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the fourth quarter and annual 2019 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources. I am Aurora Davidson, President and Chief Executive Officer. Before we begin the presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Forward-looking information will include, among other things, forecasts and projections about copper production for the year, which involves known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause actual results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from such forecasts and projections. Therefore, although we believe that anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking information. We direct you to the press release we issued on February 19th, 2020, and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking information, and the material factors that could cause actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information made in this presentation. Well, having left the formalities behind, I will start by briefly recapping the 2019 results and then present an update of where we are at now and what we're doing about it. All dollar amounts in this presentation are US dollars. 2019 was not a good year for Amerigo on various fronts. Copper production of 19.3 million pounds produced from fresh tailings and 38.9 million pounds produced from Cauquenes were below budget, below guidance, and 10% below 2018's production from the same sources of material. Annual molybdenum production of 1.4 million pounds was also below expectations and 25% lower than in 2018. Cash costs increased to $1.82 per pound, compared to a cash cost of $1.56 per pound in 2018. The company posted an annual net loss of $9.4 million, which is a loss of $0.05 per share. 2019 was not an easy year for Chile either. In October, it faced massive social protests over economic inequality. Chile is, without any question, one of the most politically and economically stable developing countries, but there are visible differences between people who are doing well and those who are not. While the protests did not affect our operations directly, they had a big social impact and have led to a national plebiscite to be held on April 26th of this year to ask voters if they want a new constitution and whether they want it to be drafted by a constitutional convention or a mixed convention including elected citizens. A second vote will take place on October the 25th to elect the members of the constitutional convention, and a third vote would accept or reject the new constitution after it is drafted, which is expected to occur no later than March 2022. However, there were also very positive aspects to the company's performance in 2019, and some of these will continue to have a positive impact in 2020 and subsequent years. First, I will mention that MVC operated in 2019 with zero accidents and zero lost days. This is a significant operational metric for any organization and for a mining company. In 2019, MVC signed a three-year collective agreement with its 208 plant workers without any days lost to strike action and at a lower cost than other mining companies. We were also able to refinance the company's remaining $56.3 million bank debt, extending the term by 2 years to 2023 and lowering the amount of payments in 2020, 2021, and 2022. Despite lower production and lower copper and molybdenum prices, the company continued to generate operating cash flow and generated $9.7 million of cash flow from operations. To end the list of positives, the company furthered its relationship with Codelco by securing a slag processing contract at the MVC plant while Codelco completed construction of its new slag processing facility. In 2019, this contract represented an economic benefit of $3.8 million to the company. At the end of 2019, the board of directors asked me to step up from the role of CFO that I have held since 2003 to the role of CEO. I have been doing both roles until a newly hired CFO joins us mid-March. As I see it, there are three key areas to work on this year. First, we need to increase production at MVC and believe this can be achieved by improving plant performance. Second, we need to make the necessary adjustments at MVC to adequately respond to having less water available, most likely on a permanent basis and not just as a result of current drought conditions. And third, we need to lower total costs and achieve a sustainable unit cost. Let's start by discussing production. A first and necessary step was to obtain more information and clarity on the causes that, starting in 2019, affected production at MVC. Even if in Q4 2019 management, MVC staff, and consultants had sat down to identify plant debottlenecking initiatives, we needed more information, and to obtain it, we called in a reliable party to conduct a separate assessment. A comprehensive audit of the MVC plant was completed this month. It has identified various areas of opportunity to improve performance through low capex, high impact initiatives. The most significant area of opportunity is to conduct a complete hydrocyclone evaluation. There are hydrocyclones in the market with newer technology than the ones we have at MVC and that can perform better in a low feed water environment. This is important because the audit has identified substantial fugitive copper losses from the primary cyclone systems, which are the cyclones used for fines and slimes removal. To resolve this problem, we will proceed to contact Krebs Ethel-Smith to evaluate a retrofit to GMAX cyclones at MVC. Achieving improved primary cycloning would reduce copper losses to the coarse fraction and allow for greater ball mill tonnages and therefore greater copper production. We will also be conducting laboratory test work in Canada in order to have precise and detailed information to simplify and optimize MVC's flowsheet in order to improve metallurgical performance. For example, we want to identify optimum primary grind size for fresh and calcareous tailings, identify the optimum regrind size for the rougher concentrate, develop a copper concentrate grade versus recovery curve, and identify deleterious elements in the moly concentrate and identify how to remove them. MVC will also be modifying the current copper cleaner circuit to allow for two concentrate exit streams. Under the current setup, all the concentrate produced at MVC is exiting via a flotation column, which causes large circulating loads back to the rougher and limit recovery. The fresh and calcareous tailings have different flotation kinetics, so having them coincide in the same clearance circuit is affecting recoveries. The circuit will be modified by adding column cells and mechanical cells. MVC will increase the number of reagent addition points in the flotation circuit and in the regrind to enhance selective flotation and liberated copper recovery. It will also rebalance the flotation frothers using the plant in order to have more control of the rougher frothability. There are also opportunities of an operational nature, which include improving process controls on all classification equipment, decentralizing metallurgical process control to improve operational support to the various areas of the plant, and buy portable equipment to obtain timely assays at different points in the plant. On the moly circuit, we will most likely be including an additional column cell and are looking at implementing nitrogen flotation in order to increase the moly concentrate grade. The audit did confirm that MVC has inadequate volume of water at current times to easily optimize its process plant and indicated the need to engage solid liquid separation and rheology experts to review and optimize MVC's water thickeners and provide additional expert information in respect of water recirculation and utilization. MVC has started working with the help of the independent consultant to implement all the operational recommendations, which are implementable at essentially no extra cost. Most other recommendations include CAPEX, which is roughly estimated to be $2 to $2.5 million, including lab work. As I mentioned before, our assessment is that these recommendations are low capex, high impact. We're in the process of gathering information with the help of the independent consultant to determine the actual capex timing and implementation flow of the recommendations. We need to be mindful that the water shortage equation will introduce a degree of complexity to the efforts of optimizing the MVC plant. Let's now talk about water supply in Chile and MVC. Drought conditions have affected a number of miners in central Chile. For example, Anglo American reported much lower production at Los Bronces during Q4 2019, which was down by over 30% in the same period in 2018 due to the drought conditions. According to Anglo, the lack of water has significantly reduced plant performance. The MVC operation, and I'm talking about the plant and the Cauquenes extraction together, requires approximately a water supply of 100 liters per second for each 10,000 tons per day, excluding the water that is recirculated by the three water thickeners that MVC has at plant. For a normal operation of 62,500 tons per day, this represents 625 liters per second, which is a lot of water. MVC had always been able to obtain this water through the water containing the fresh tailings, through rainwater that was stored in Caliwes, and through water rights to local rivers. Things have gradually changed as a result of declining rainfall in the central area of Chile in recent years, and more dramatically due to severe drought in 2019, when it only rained 124 millimeters of water compared to a normal year that has rain of 410 millimeters. The situation has affected Teniente as well, which has gradually been increasing the density of its tailings from 48% to 57%. The substantial reduction in rainfall in 2019 had a negative impact on the water reserves in Caliwes, which reached an all-time low of only 200,000 cubic meters in November 2019. To increase water availability, MVC has undertaken various initiatives and projects. One project was completed at the end of 2019 at a cost of $300,000, and improved pumping stations and included improved pumping stations to increase the supply of water to MVC from adjacent rivers by 200 liters per second. Another project entails the purchase and installation of additional metal piping to increase water recirculation capacity from the water thickeners at a capex of $1.9 million, which is ongoing and is expected to be completed at the end of April. This is expected to provide an additional 130 liters per second of water. These measures have been carried and or are being carried out satisfactorily, increasing the discharge solids from MVC to Caren to 59%, increasing the amount of water recovered for use of the plant, and also allowing MVC to redirect water to replenish water levels in Caliwes to 1 million cubic meters. The water projects, however, have increased the load to the MVC water thickeners. MVC knew about it and made modifications to the thickeners so that they could receive this additional load. However, despite having followed the recommendations of the equipment supplier, the changes made to the thickeners have negatively impacted their operation, causing repeated embankments in recent weeks, which have forced MVC to stop the plant fully or just treat fresh tailings while the thickeners were being put back online. This has had a negative impact on production, particularly in the current month of February. To avoid further damage to the equipment in the thickeners, during the next months, we will need to be operating them with lower feed tonnage, which will impact on a lower recovery of water and lower processing from Cauquenes. In order to return to the desired condition where the thickeners can operate with greater tonnage, it will be necessary to boost the drive and lift systems of the thickeners, and the necessary parts have a lead time of 5 months. The operational problems with the thickeners have forced MVC to adjust Cauquenes processing rates to 40,000 tons per day through May, estimating going up to 50,000 tons per day in June if rain levels normalize in April and May, which is the start of the local rain season. Under these conditions, annual production from fresh tailings and Cauquenes would be approximately 55 to 60 million pounds, excluding any effect from plant optimization initiatives. The forecast also excludes further plant stoppages, which in theory are not expected to occur, given the lower processing rates that I have mentioned above. Finally, let's discuss costs. As I mentioned earlier, cash costs in 2019 was $1.82 per pound, and the two most significant components of cash costs were power costs, which was 56 cents per pound, and smelting and refining costs, or TCRCs, at 34 cents per pound. In 2020, as a result of industry benchmarks, TCRCs will be lower at 29 cents per pound, and power costs are estimated to also be lower at 48 cents per pound as a result of lower contractual supply rates. In 2020, lower power and TCRCs of 13 cents per pound will represent approximately $7.6 million in lower costs at the current 2020 production forecast. Annual cash cost forecast for 2020 is $1.63 per pound, but it's forecast to be higher in Q1 at $1.87 per pound and Q2 at $1.65 per pound. Q3 cash cost is expected to be $1.51 per pound and $1.57 per pound in Q4. We believe that further cost reductions are required, including labor and services in MVC, particularly to pay for the $2 to $2.5 million plant optimization. Year to date, we're seeing lower actual cost than budget. In January, our cash cost was $1.54 per pound compared to budget of $1.83 per pound. January cash cost still included slag byproduct credits. Adjusted cash cost for January without the slag byproduct credit was $1.61 per pound. Our 2020 cash projections based on these scenarios and assuming a copper price of $2.59 per pound for March onwards show a very tight checkbook in the first half of the year, which will require us to use the existing reserve account in March to make debt and principal payments of $6.1 million. The cash projections indicate our ability to make the September debt payment and also replenish the reserve account by year-end. Under these assumptions, we have limited 2020 sustaining capex in the year of approximately $2.2 million, essentially to pay for the water projects, and have also assumed that the plant optimization capex, estimated at $2 to $2.5 million, would be paid through other operating cost reductions at MVC. In short, 2020 is a challenging year, but we're working hard to make the necessary changes to reduce operational risk. Needless to say, we cannot predict the short-term copper price behavior. Wood Mackenzie anticipates that global refined copper consumption will grow 1.8% this year, and their latest price forecast for 2020 is $2.81 per pound, under which, at current production and cost forecasts, we would end the year with approximately $15 to $17 million cash. MVC is a good, solid asset. It has been in operation for 27 years, most of them at copper prices substantially lower than today's. We have a long-term contract with Codelco for at least another 17 years and a solid relationship with them. We require very little capex going forward, have a manageable debt, and proven operational resiliency to survive market cyclicality. In the period of 2005 to 2008, and then 2011 to 2012, Amerigo paid $47 million in dividends to shareholders, and we expect to return to that capacity when copper prices stabilize at higher levels. That is the extent of the presentation, and we are open to questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. And the first question is from Joseph Rieger from Las Vegas. Please go ahead.
Hi, Aurora. Thanks for taking the questions.
Hi, Joe.
So a couple of things, probably more than my normal list. If the drought conditions continue through the rainy season, I know you can't really predict the future, but if that were to happen, what would production for the full year look like? Like, what's the low end if droughts continue? I know you guys revised it and assume, you know, you get rain in June, but if that doesn't happen, then what?
Well, I think it's very difficult to answer that question right now because we have several things ahead of us that need to be solved first. We need to fix the thickeners, and with fixing the thickeners allows us to increase some level of processing from Cauquenes. We also have to factor in at some point in time the improvements from the plant modifications that we have identified would have an impact on recovery. So I think that at this stage in time, we are cautiously commenting that for the time being, we're assuming that rain conditions could occur mid-year and allow us to improve our performance in the second half of the year. But there are still those elements up in the air that really preclude us from making an educated assessment at this point in time as to what the year-to-date or the full-year production would be under the same conditions. There are factors that will be affecting and will be shaping up in the following weeks and months that will have an impact on that projection, Joe.
Okay, fair enough. And also thinking, you know, on some of those comments you made about all these different initiatives you're looking at with the mill, is it still reasonable to expect that if, let's say, rain conditions return to what was normal 2 years ago and, you know, all these initiatives get taken care of, could the, you know, call it 2 years from now, could the mine or could the operation still get back to that original goal of 80 to 85 million pounds per year?
We have no reason to say no. The assessment that we have at MDC is was positive, with the caveat that water conditions do have an effect. I think you have nailed it out in a very good way. If water conditions were not to be an issue, water supply conditions were not to have an issue, I think that we have a substantial opportunity of improving plant performance to levels that are aligned to the original projections that we had ahead of us a year ago, let's say.
Okay. And then one final thing. I think last year, Cauquenes didn't really meet expectations on a grade basis as well. Are there any concerns that the resource grade that we're all used, you know, assuming is still good, might be a little bit on the high side just based on, you know, the age of that estimate and, you know, erosion, et cetera, that have impacted that tailings, you know, since that time, you know, since the time the resource was put together? Or is that, are you guys actively updating it and making sure that, you know, you still expect the same kind of grade long term from there?
Well, we have modeled in a very detailed way the mine sequence plan for 2020, 21, and 22. We are not seeing any significant indications of a review to those assumptions. Having said that, we have seen historically that the performance has been. When you get to the annual performance, we have seen changes compared to perhaps the averaged assumptions that were used in the technical model. I think that averages are always a bit of an enemy because they present a situation that looks more stable and more linear than when you're actually looking at the localized information. But in for example, in 2020, we're expecting, and that has been factored in our production assumptions, that grade will be a little bit lower in the second half of the year just due to mine sequencing. But that is already included in the production forecast for this year.
Okay. Well, obviously, a lot of this stuff has been outside your guys' control. You can't control the weather. You can't control copper prices, but, you know, at least you guys are doing everything you can, and, you know, that's appreciated.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. And the next question is from John Polcari from New York. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is on the total cost for all the incremental necessarily upgrades as well as the ongoing maintenance. What is the total CapEx for 2020? All in, everything that conceivably has to be done on an incremental basis plus the ongoing normal maintenance CapEx?
Yeah, well, we mentioned that for the sustaining CapEx, at current time we are limiting the sustaining CapEx of MVC to the water recovery projects, and that's $1.9 million. So we originally had a higher CapEx, approximately $3.4 million, $3.6 million. That has been revised to just take care of the water projects, which have a cost of $1.9 million. The plant improvements have a ballpark CapEx of $2 to $2.5 million. This is a very rough estimate. We're
right.
still working to secure quotes and to get more definitive information on that. So you're talking about $4.5 million of CapEx in the year. The repairs to the thickeners are all within maintenance expenses. They are not CapEx driven, and they are estimated to be in the range of $300,000.
So how is it possible to reduce the sustaining ongoing CapEx to an amount of $1.9 million? Wouldn't, if it's normally somewhere around $3.4, $3.5 million on an ongoing basis, what gets sacrificed?
Well, it's not a question of sacrifice. It's a question of what needs to be done every year. In the last years, a substantial portion of sustaining CapEx has been to build sumps at Cauquenes. And we don't have to build a sump this year. We don't need to build a sump next year. So that liberates a substantial amount of dollars on the CapEx, sustaining CapEx budget.
So the sustaining CapEx number isn't particularly stable from year to year then?
We have always worked within the parameters of $5 to $5.5-6 million, but the lion's share of that in recent years has been for sumps.
Okay.
So if you take out, for example, if you take out the cost of the sump for $4.5 million, you
right.
suddenly have, last year we had sustaining CapEx and all other projects about $1.2 million.
And that does not involve deferring essential maintenance that would just get pushed out then, you're saying?
No, that does not involve attacking or bringing on board several sustaining CapEx projects. Maintenance is an operational cost, and
right.
Maintenance is being carried out as needed as part of our operational budget.
Okay. Educate me here as far as the actual percentage of mining from the new tailings versus the historic tailings. As time goes on, am I correct in assuming that the historic tailings would have become a greater percentage, but they don't appear to be moving up in terms of percentage, or is that not the case?
No, historic tailings are a substantial amount of our production. In last year, 2018, they were 68% of production, and that would be the normal that we would be seeing from a normalized operation of Cauquenes. In 2019, because we had issues with recoveries on the Cauquenes feed, production from historic tailings decreased from 68% to 56%. But I would say that normally you would say 65 to 70% of production should be coming from Cauquenes on a normal year.
And that would be a percentage, a ballpark percentage that would be not just for next year, but an ongoing basis over the next number of years, right? That would be
yes.
Based on the substantial amount of tailings, going back, you know, decades, that percentage is probably a stable number for years to come. Would that be correct?
That would be correct until cocaine is depleted. But yes, for the foreseeable future, that would be a normal number to expect.
Two other quick questions on the cash costs as they decline over 2020. They flatline in the third quarter and then pick up. What drives the increase from 151 to 157 in Q4?
Well, those are unit costs, and we have different projections of production on a month-by-month basis in the quarter. I mean, they're very sensitive to the changes in production. I would say that total costs tend to be stable. It's just when production would vary and probably is a little bit lower in Q4 than in Q3 on current projections.
Okay. I know this is somewhat outside of the realm of your ability to answer, but when the proposed new constitution is implemented and the final vote occurs toward the end of the year, do you envision a change in the tax regime possibly? It certainly wouldn't go down in light of the somewhat of unexpected social unrest. Would it be correct to assume that there might be a movement toward increased tax revenue from the mining space?
I think there is a possibility that will happen. The new constitution would come in effect in 2022. But, there is talk about changes to the overall income tax rate in Chile. And there are also changes being discussed to the mining royalty scheme, which doesn't apply to our operations at MVC with the current wording of that royalty mining royalty tax.
Because the royalty regime as it's set up now is a variable royalty is for till the length of the agreement, right? The termination of the has something like 15 years to run.
I don't follow your question. Talking about our agreement with Codelco?
Right. The royalty to Codelco, that percentage of the royalty payments vary with the price of copper. That variable runs through, I assume, the end of the relationship with Codelco as it stands right now, right?
Correct.
So there's no talk of raising the royalty or revisiting the royalty formula.
No. I think that our agreement with El Teniente is totally separate of any changes that would happen as a result of legislative changes in Chile.
Okay. My very last question is the actual cash break-even required for expenses on an ongoing basis. Obviously, the your gross profit, the capex required, the interest expense, servicing the debt without dipping into, at the end of the year, after having dipped into the reserve and reestablishing it, by the end of the year, what would be a ballpark break-even price for copper that would cover, again, on a total cash basis, capex, interest expense, debt amortization? What would be a range that would be required? Would copper have to be closer to $2, or how much room for weather variability, et cetera, could we assume? I mean, in today's conditions, as they stand now,
I think I mentioned that under these conditions, we're basically talking about a copper price of $255 to $259. It's very tight.
Right.
Having said that, I think that this year we have a production profile that we don't want to have in subsequent years. We're making all the necessary efforts to increase that. And as our production increases, such as our resiliency to weather the lower copper prices.
Is that $255, that's a cash basis, right, that doesn't include any depreciation, amortization, et cetera. That would be a...
Oh, that's a cash break-even point.
That's a cash break-even point, see, 255. Below that, it would become, shall we say, extremely tight. So is there a line of any kind other than the reserve fund that the company could fall back on or has anticipated with the banks in addition to the term loan financing? Is there a talk about establishing some sort of a working capital line?
We don't have those discussions with the bank now. I think that there is room to have those discussions initiated. We don't have those at the moment. We're working on the basis of not having additional sources of financing and making sure that operationally we can secure the cash flow to meet commitments and take care of fixing our plant issues through the initiatives that we have identified.
Thanks. But is there a reason the company historically never had even a modest $3 or $4 or $5 million line, utilized or not, just as a...
We had a line of credit of $20 million for a number of years, and we never used it. We pay a standby fee on that.
Okay.
When we undertook the Cauquenes expansion, we canceled that line of credit because we were working with a different set of bankers, and we financed our expansion and didn't set up a working capital line of credit.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your explicit answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one on your telephone keypad if you have a question. And the next question is from Stephen Otridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Stephen.
The question is my understanding is that El Teniente is going to be increasing its production later this year. And does that therefore mean an increase in new savings coming into the plant?
We have a detailed plant production from El Teniente that we factor into our production forecast to accommodate for our fresh tailings forecast, and we are not seeing that information, Stephen.
I was just curious about that because they presumably the water comes down. Down the chute, when that's been reduced, is there a possibility that you're getting there will be backups in the chute carrying the tailings with the lack of water?
Well, I think that's a situation that El Teniente monitors very closely to ensure that they don't fall into those conduction problems. Conduction of their tailings to MVC and from MVC to the deposit in Karen is an essential operational activity for them, so I'm pretty sure they're taking all the necessary precautions to ensure they don't have embankments.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one on your telephone keypad if you have a question. There are no further questions to register at this time, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you very much. If we have no further questions, we will close our conference call, and we appreciate the following of the people that attended, and we will be presenting again our Q1 2020 results in about 3 months' time.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and thank you for your participation.